In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. This morning we look at the gospel lesson which was read in John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. Under the theme, even when things do not go well, God is in control. The context of John 6 would tell us that John the Baptist has just died. Jesus said to those gathered at Jerusalem, "You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light." Even when things don't go right, God is in control. Even when Jesus lost the forerunner, his best friend, even when death came into the inner circle, God was still in control and the mission moved forward. Then, in the immediate context, Jesus confronts those who were the opposition party relative to his religious faith, and he said some very strong things to them, such as, "I know that you have not the love of God within you." And further he states, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" As Jesus confronted very strong opposition relative to his theological positions, he nevertheless was always in control and in charge, so that chapter 6 begins as though it was just a seeming passing fancy after this. After this confrontation, after this awareness of strong opposition that would ultimately end in his death, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. This is that sea that can become extremely boisterous and disturbing. It was upon this sea that Jesus would glide northward, even though there would be those buried at the bottom of the sea that would not come up like the residents of the Challenger would. This sea that caused the death of many people who tried to cross it. Nevertheless, in the midst of that treachery, God is in control. That Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, there's been a name change because there is a control change. All his entire earthly life, Jesus lived under Roman rule. And even those things are not what you would think they should be, nevertheless, Caesar is not in control, but God is in control. And so this multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he did on those who were diseased. The multitude with their multitude of problems move forward upon him. They converge upon him. And again, things are not exactly as they should be, for they are coming to him because they saw the signs, the miracles, and they wanted to see and experience even more. Even though their motives are not what they should be, even though the people who come to worship on Sunday do not always come with the proper motives, nevertheless, God is in control. They wanted to see the signs which he did on those who were diseased. And this phrase reminds us of the havoc of humanity and what has gone wrong with all of us. For Jesus not only had to deal with the sickness of sin, but also with the ravages that it caused on humankind. And even though things were not what they should be, the blind, the halt, the maimed, those with terminal diseases, nevertheless, Jesus is in control. And so he goes forward. Jesus went up unto the hills, and there he sat down with his disciples. King Jesus makes the hillside his royal throne. And he sits down upon this hillside in order to have a better panoramic view of the situation that is before him, that seemingly is out of control, but he is very much in control. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. The Passover that should have caused him to come unglued. The Passover that meant his impending death and suffering. The Passover that would bury him in the grave. The Passover that he would, as the Lamb of God, sacrifice himself for the fulfillment of God's will and God's ways. But lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a multitude was coming to him, Jesus said to Philip with commanding words, "How are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" This he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew that the disciples were not what they should be, and the disciples were not where they should be in their spiritual development and growth. And so he needed to test their faith, to strengthen their faith. And he throws out this question, "How are we to feed all of these people here in the wilderness?" But this he did to test him. But Jesus was in control. He himself knew what he would do, despite his answer. That is response A. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. There doesn't seem to be enough money. Things never seem to be quite right to pay all the bills, to meet all the financial obligations. There's only 200 denarii available, and that would only buy crumbs for such a large crowd. And so they go to plan B. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many?" Again, things just are not quite right. Just not enough bread, not enough fish. What are they among so many? But again, in his commanding voice, Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." That is an order. That is a command of one who reveals himself very much in charge. And now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. Perhaps there were 15 to 20,000, including women and children. It was not a homemade setting. There were not tables. There were not couches to lounge back upon. There were not napkins. Things were not just right for this open-air picnic. Nevertheless, God is still in charge. And then Jesus took the loaves. When he had given thanks, he distributed it to those who were seated. Jesus takes the loaves very much like he takes things in hand that have gotten out of hand. And he takes them in his hands just as a mother would take an infant and hold it tightly to her breast, lovingly and with great care. He takes these loaves, and when he had given thanks, in much the same response that he will do at the Passover, when he takes the bread and he breaks it and he gives thanks for the unique opportunity that God has given to him to give his life as a ransom for many. He gives thanks, and then he becomes the distribution center. He distributes them to those who were seated, so also the fish. It is from him that all blessings flow. It is from God that we receive every blessing, even our daily bread, so that our needs are met, for God is in control. He distributes them, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. Things are not like we think they should be. You would think that one of the disciples would get up and with his boisterous voice would say, "Now please, only take one fish so there's enough to go around for everyone." But not so. But depending upon the appetite and the needs of those who are present, Jesus provides the fish as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments," still in charge, still in command, "so that the leftovers are received, that nothing may be lost." And so they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign which he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Even after people are fed, things are still not right. Even after they have seen the signs and miracles, things still are not right. They come very close to acclamation. "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And you would think that they are on the right track after they have supped with him. But the reality is that even after we have come to the supper, we go back to the reality that things haven't changed a whole lot in the world in which we live, and yet God continues to be in charge. And so, perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the hills by himself. The omnipotence as well as the omniscience of God stands forward as one who is very much in charge. Even though he is able to multiply bread, he perceives the problem of their faith and realizes that he is not there to be a bread king, but he is there to give his life so that we might be able to feed upon him forever. And so Jesus withdraws, but not entirely. It's almost a prelude to the ascension, where he withdraws from them into his unique position and role to say to us that God indeed is very much in charge and in control of life, even when man disappoints him and doesn't perceive him for who he really is. As you and I ascend this mountain this morning and come and receive from him also the bread of life, and then as we descend that mountain, let us remember that even when things are not quite right in our lives, and as we think they should be, God, the bread of life who feeds us and sustains us, is still very much in control. Amen.